So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. Names. They're important, aren't they? When I first arrived here, you made a big effort to wear your name badges so that I could learn and call you by your names. That made my life so much easier. But how do you feel when someone remembers your name? It makes you feel valued and respected. Your name has been heard and it's been remembered. And you feel an affinity or a connection with that person. It is upon names that relationships are built. Last weekend we had our Let's Chalk About It event. Let's Chalk About Mental Health at Wombat Bend. Lots of members of the community came along and members from our congregation joined them. The first thing they did was introduce themselves. We shared our names and we said hello because it's easier to connect with people when you know their names. It's one of the first questions we ask when we meet new people. Hello, my name's Claire. And that's an invitation for you to give your name. Yeah? First aiders are trained to introduce themselves to the person requiring first aid and then to ask that person's name. And it's the same for paramedics. When they arrive at the scene of trauma or accident, they introduce themselves and then they ask the person's name. And thus they connect. In a very short space of time, a connection is made, a relationship is developed and a trust is built. Just in a very short space of time. The paramedic is making a connection with the patient so the person trusts them in order for the paramedic to be able to help them. So names are important. Let's think about all the different names we have for God. Spirit, Yahweh, Lord, Creator, Mighty One, I Am Who I Am, Jesus, Triune, King, Jehovah, the Alpha and the Omega, goes on, doesn't it? So many names. Some of them that we use reflect our age. Others that we use perhaps reflect our theological understanding of God. Names are important. At the burning bush, when God tells Moses to go to Egypt and lead the people out of slavery into freedom, Moses asks, "What's your name? Who shall I tell them you are?" Because he needs a name to establish authority in the Egyptian context. He needs a name to call upon so that he can go in there and say to Pharaoh, "Let God's people go." And God responds with, "I am who I am." Not sure that was terribly helpful for Moses, but it was an answer. So in our creation story this morning, so it's the second creation story in the Bible, there are two creation stories. God created all manner of creatures and the man gave them names. God makes the man and then creates the rest. The man, Adam in Hebrew, came first, created by God, from the earth or the dust. Again in Hebrew, Adama. And Lorraine is going to correct my pronunciation. Note I'm saying the man and not man, because that's how it's translated at this point in the story. Adam, as we know him, is not yet Adam. He is the man. The man was created in order to till the earth. The meaning of till is to serve. So the man was created to serve creation, not to exploit, not to dominate, not to demean, but to serve. So the picture is of humility and of grace. In the first creation story, when was the man created? I won't say which day, but roughly, whenabouts was man created? In the first creation story. It's right at the end. Yeah? Right at the end. So everything else was created. The chaos was divided. We've got earth, we've got sky, we've got water, we've got animals, birds, and then man. Here, man is created at the beginning of the process. And the man is given the task by God to name the creatures. In giving them names, connection begins to take place. The man serves creation and relationships are built. When the man applies language and names the creatures, he understands the creatures as being what they are named. So the sheep are sheep because of, not just because of what they look like, but because of what they do and what they actually are. They are sheep, they are nothing else, they are just sheep. And the language enables them to have a name that's understood by man to be sheep. It brings order into the physical world, not to dominate, but as an act of service. The creatures are incorporated into the man's circle of life within creation. And then that creation is what the man serves. This story is not unlike many of our first people's dreamtime stories, their creation stories. The stories of how the Creator Spirit moved across the land, and remember, the form that the Creator Spirit took depends on whose stories you're hearing, and breathed life into all things, and names were given to those things that embodied what they were. The purpose of this creating in Genesis by God is to create a helper for the man. And we say helper, not subordinate, but an equal who will also till or serve creation with him. They serve together. Don't get hung up on gender. Right? No creature that God creates and man names fits this role of helper. So God takes a rib from the man and creates woman, and the man responds with poetry. Hear me when I say, don't get hung up on the gender. The man says, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Again, the man has named this creation of God and connects and builds relationship. Again, the relationship is not one of domination or exploitation. Here, the relationship is between partners, both serving. Language brings names, which brings order and connection. With connection comes relationship. With relationship comes strength, because we exist in partnership together, each complementing each other with what we have to offer. Elsewhere in the Bible, names are used in different ways. I'll give you just four examples this morning. There are loads. Firstly, a name could be used to establish or acknowledge genealogy and family ties. That was very important. For one example, I'm just going to the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus' lineage is set out, and that's for a purpose. That's to prove a point. Names can be used to communicate God's message. So again, from Matthew's Gospel, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So God's message is being conveyed by the use of a name. Sometimes names were used to establish a specific relationship with God, a covenant. So when Abraham became Abraham, God entered into a relationship with Abraham and Abraham's descendants. God made a promise to him. I make this covenant with you. I promise that you will be the ancestor of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abraham, but Abraham, because I am making you the ancestor of many nations. So there's a promise. And names were also used to indicate a new beginning in somebody's life or a new direction. When Simon professes Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus responds with, "Your name is now Peter, the rock upon whom I build my church." So names are used in different ways, all telling a story in the way they are used, in the meaning behind the names and behind the basic language. Names, building relationships, making connections, whether it's God entering into a covenant with Abraham or Jesus giving Simon a new name, the rock. There's meaning and there's order and connection with names. I'm going to read the words of a man called René Gutmann now. "Just before I turned 6, my family was deported to Auschwitz from the ghetto. My arm was tattooed with the number 169061. The Nazis used numbers in the concentration camps rather than names. People's names were no longer used. When we start giving people numbers, we dehumanize them. To the Nazis, Jewish people were subhuman. They tattooed the numbers onto their flesh because they killed them so quickly they couldn't change the names on the prison uniforms." Let that sink in. They tattooed numbers onto people's flesh because they killed them so quickly they couldn't change the names on the prison uniforms. Dehumanizing. We're given numbers in different contexts today. We have tax file numbers, Medicare numbers, bank account numbers. In hospital, we're given patient numbers. Imagine if there were 2 Claire doors. Thank you. If there were 2 Claire doors going into hospital at the same time, and one Claire door was in there for open heart surgery and one was in to have her wisdom teeth removed. Quite important to distinguish between the two. So numbers are used rather than names. It's a good way. They're not meant to dehumanize you. They're meant to identify you. Many of us who've lined up in Centrelink, however, can tell you how dehumanizing a system is. The Australian government has been criticised for using numbers for people. Back in 2015, when Save the Children was working on Manus and Nauru, they found that children identified with the numbers the guards had given them rather than their names. Their names weren't used by the guards, only the numbers, and so they simply stopped using their names. I'm going to read from an account by Save the Children, remembering this is 4 years ago, 2015. In one of the submissions, an anonymous former Save the Children worker gave examples of incidents in which Wilson's staff had either been insufficiently trained or were being deliberately inhumane and cruel. Remember, Wilson were the ones that ran the camps for the government. Wilson's staff were criticised with their response to incidents of self-harm and suicide, and claimed two security staff charged with looking after a woman who had witnessed her friend attempt suicide. The staff refused to refer to her by anything other than her boat ID, so would not use her name. The client became disengaged and visibly upset. Once taken into detention, each asylum seeker is given a unique 6-digit code for identification purposes, 3 numbers and 3 letters. Boat IDs were even used when the employee was talking to an asylum seeker with a piece of paper in front of them with that person's name on it. They would still use the number. I know of children that appeared to identify with their ID more than their name, in that some children would sign artwork or schoolwork with their boat ID, not their name. It's dehumanising, it's demeaning, and it's subjugating. Now, for a long time, the Australian public were not told any names of people on Manus or Nauru. That only happened when people like Save the Children returned from working there and shared their experiences of what was going on. When we know people's names, we can connect with them. We can start build relationships with them. So you can see why governments refer to people by their numbers rather than their names. It's harder to ignore someone's plight when we know their name, because a connection is made. Last weekend at Let's Talk About Mental Health, I saw people introducing themselves to strangers, and then conversations began, and people started to share the stories of their lives and how mental illness had affected them. I don't know if you've ever walked past somebody who is obviously homeless on the street and they have a sign with their name on. Much harder to walk past somebody that's got a sign with their name. Having a name leads to connections, which leads to sharing stories. And when we hear people's stories, we cannot ignore them. We're automatically connected to them in some way, at a deeper level. Stories are vitally important to building bridges between individuals and groups of people. When we learn more about each other, when we are named, that is when we connect. On Friday, I went to a human rights summit with 17 students from Doncaster Secondary. 17 students, one teacher, Hermione, and Wendy Austin from our congregation. One of the exercises was a virtual reality exercise. Has anyone done that? Put these goggles on and you're there. You're in the place itself. It's so real. One of these exercises was entering an Indigenous community. And we heard from the elders there. They introduced themselves by their personal names, by their nation, and by their place. And we connected with them because we knew their names, and then they shared their stories. But it was so real. And this is partly why we say that we're on Wurundjeri land. This is why it's important to name it. Once it's specifically named, it's very hard to ignore. So names are important. We each have a name. It's used to identify us, to speak to us, and to refer to us. We become connected to others when we know each other's names. And when we use people's names, It shows we value and respect them. Jim was sharing with me before the service began that when he was training as a pharmacist, he was told, use people's names. Connect with people. People like to hear their names. And even now, Jim was saying that his pharmacist will say, greet him with Mr. Large. It makes you feel connected, doesn't it? It makes you feel valued. The same with God. Isaiah 49, the Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. God named me. Exodus 33, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight. I know you by name. Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God knows our names. This God of the universe, the creator of all things, knows our names. If we ever needed proof that we're loved and cherished, it's that God knows our names. Our names tell us who we are in this world, in our families, in our nations. We can trace our family histories through our surnames, sometimes through our first names. We are human, and when we have a name that others use, we are not demeaned, but we are lifted up by the knowledge that someone cares enough to know our name. In our reading, God creates all manner of creatures and then hands them to the man who names them. He connects with them, he serves them, he cares for them, and it starts with a name. God loves us so much that he knows us intimately and completely. And when God calls to us, God uses our names. Let's do the same. Let's not allow any government or anyone else to reduce people to a number, to dehumanize them by replacing their human names with a system number. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Thanks be to God. Amen.